let me slip away on you. Every highway, you've seen better days, the morning after blues.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. Evan Bray, great to have you with us on a beautiful day. It's going to be a warm 30 degrees, the high for much of the province, which great in many cases, obviously a bit of a challenge for those that are fighting the wildfires, and we continue to stay on top of that story. Our newsrooms in the province continue to reach out, bring you reports, and we will throughout the show through the rest of the week be able to bring you reports of this as well. You know, a big part of what I have quickly grown to love about the opportunity I have in this show, in this chair every day talking with you, is to be able to tell some great stories. Sometimes they're local and Saskatchewan stories, and sometimes they're Canada stories, and often they're right under our nose. They're things that we almost take for granted each and every day, and I think this next story is a piece of that. As my next guest has said, almost every Canadian has experienced, has touched, has been on or driven the Trans-Canada Highway at some point in their lives. It really is unavoidable if you're connecting between provinces. In many ways, it's something that I think many of us have taken for granted. What's the story behind the road? Not something that maybe you and I are thinking of when we're driving on the Trans-Canada Highway, but someone like Craig Baird does, because he's a Canadian historian. We've had Craig on the show before. He's got a great website. He's got a great podcast going. Website is Canada X.com. And by the way, X is spelled E-H-X, the Canadian way of spelling X, CanadaX.com. Mr. Craig Baird joins me by phone. Craig, thanks so much for taking the call.
Oh, thanks for having me again.
I'm curious, when you're thinking about writing a book, and that's what we're here to talk about today, your new book, how does a road pop into your mind as that would be a good subject for a book?
Well, you know, the Trans-Canada Highway is just something that I felt has been overlooked for so long in our history. And for my first book, I really wanted to write about something that was kind of not just talking about one person, but talking about something that had a major impact on our history. And for Pierre Bert, a major inspiration in what I do, and he wrote, you know, two volumes about the building of the CPR. So I thought, you know what, it's about time the Trans-Canada Highway got its due, and I wanted to write and tell its story because it really gets overshadowed quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. I caught an article in the National Post. That's what caught my attention to this book that you've written. And by the way, the book that Craig authored is called Canada's Main Street. I love that title, the epic story of the Trans-Canada Highway. So tell us, give us a little bit of a history lesson about what you learned about the Trans-Canada Highway.
Well, the Trans-Canada Highway kind of comes about a little bit late, you know, in terms of the automobile. It wasn't until 1949 that we actually signed the act to create the Trans-Canada Highway. So we're talking, you know, 40 years at least where people were starting to drive more and more. And we did have roads that went across the country, but a lot of them were dirt. They weren't great roads. I mean, if you drove those roads, you made sure you had a lot of spare tires because you were going to have a lot of flats on the way. And a lot of people would go into the United States and rather than drive clear across the country, I mean, you couldn't even drive the North Shore of Lake Superior because there was no road there. So after the Trans-Canada Highway Act is signed in 1949, that begins the process of building the highway. But it takes about 20 years, and it's this huge project. All the provinces have to agree on the route. Like, it was not like the CPR where the government said, this is where the route's going to be, and they built it. Every province had to decide where the highway would go through their own jurisdiction. And, you know, there was a splitting of the cost between the federal government and the provinces. Nobody except for Saskatchewan built the Trans-Canada Highway on time. Everybody needed extensions. So it was a huge project.
Interesting. That was one of my questions, is was there any hiccups in terms of meeting the timeline? Saskatchewan was the only one that made it online. Is it because we, you know, if we look at it seriously, we've got a pretty flat surface to work with. Did that help us?
That helped a lot. Saskatchewan was very easy to build through, but, you know, so was Manitoba and Alberta leading up to the Rockies. Those were all very easy areas to build through. You know, when you look at something like Newfoundland, where they're building essentially through the forest or the north shore of Lake Superior, where, again, building a road where there was no road, and then all the bridges that had to be built in British Columbia, all of those took so much extra time that even though John Diefenbaker kind of stamped down the asphalt in Rogers Pass in 1962 and said the highway's open, the highway wasn't really finished yet. There was still gravel in places. But, you know, Newfoundland didn't actually finish the highway until 1965. Mm. So it was a long process to get it done.
Craig Baird is my guest, Canadian historian and author of the book Canada's Main Street, the epic story of the Trans-Canada Highway. I'm curious to know, were you able to pull out any of the considerations that provinces would have taken into account when they were determining the route of the highway? Because there are a couple of weird jogs, even when you get through Manitoba and into Ontario, it goes straight south for a while and then over. Any sense of why the decisions were made of the route throughout the provinces?
Well, through most of the eastern provinces, it was pretty easy to decide. I mean, Prince Edward Island, it was just going the length of the province. Newfoundland, it was kind of covering a lot of the area. But as you start to go to the west, and then especially as you get through Ontario, they were deciding whether they would go north through, you know, Timmins and those that area, or if they go along the Lake Superior. And then once you get into Manitoba, that's when it splits, and you have the Yellowhead that goes up through Saskatoon and then through Edmonton, and then you have the Trans-Canada that goes the south, and then you also have that Medicine Hat. It's splitting again to the Crow's Nest Pass. So it was Alberta and Saskatchewan that really had to figure out what route it was going to take. And most people figured it would go through southern Saskatchewan and southern Alberta, but Edmonton fought hard to get the Trans-Canada Highway built. Mm-hmm. And there's a point in the book where I use a quote from somebody who says, if we built through every community that wanted the Trans-Canada Highway, it would just be zigzagging all over the map because everybody wanted to have this highway. But you had to have the provinces agree, because if Saskatchewan said, well, we're building it through Saskatoon, and then Alberta says, well, we're building it through Calgary, how do you get that to line up? So all the provinces had to make sure everything lined up, but especially Saskatchewan, Alberta, and then British Columbia.
There has to be, I'm thinking about the communities, large or small, that are along the Trans-Canada Highway. There has to be an economic benefit to those communities.
Without a doubt. I mean, the Wawa Goose was built pretty quickly after the highway went through Wawa, Ontario, and it's just north of the community, so they build the Goose to get people to come into the community. So you have that all the way along the highway of people benefiting from that. But tourism plays a lot into where that highway goes. That's why it went along the north shore of Lake Superior, because we wanted Americans to come up and drive that beautiful vista along Lake Superior. And then one reason it goes through Calgary and then Banff rather than through Lethbridge and the Crow's Nest Pass was because we wanted a highway taking people to Banff. And that's, again, why it's south, because we also wanted to get Americans up into Canada and using the Trans-Canada Highway.
Craig Baird is my guest, a Canadian historian. And again, his new book that he authored, Canada's Main Street, the epic story of the Trans-Canada Highway. We were talking a lot now about infrastructure and the need for Canada to do a better job of moving goods from west to east. How important was the Trans-Canada Highway, is the Trans-Canada Highway in that aspect of trades and moving goods here in the country?
Oh, it's incredibly important because a lot of people don't even think about it. Like when you're in Calgary and you want to go to a place like Peter's Drive and you drive on 16th Avenue, and that's the Trans-Canada Highway. So, you know, going through cities, you don't even think about being on the Trans-Canada Highway, but you can be on that highway in Calgary or Regina and drive all the way to Halifax and stay on that highway the entire time. So it is a major corridor for so much coming from Vancouver all the way to Halifax and Halifax all the way to Vancouver. So much business happens along that highway that it is a critical part of our economy.
What's the future look like for this highway? Are there updates? Are there expansions? Is there twinning? Anything going on that we see currently or into the future?
Well, I think a lot of that has happened over the past few years. I mean, I know in Saskatchewan it used to be single lane for years and years, and now obviously it's a twin highway, and that kind of starts in Manitoba and continues all the way until you get to closer to Banff. There is always work going on with the highway to make it safer, to help with certain aspects of it, you know, the shoulders, all of that, to tight turns. So there's always work that's happening, but more or less how it is now is probably how it'll stay for a while. I would imagine they'll start adding lanes or anything like that to it.
Craig, what do you think the takeaway is for people that read your book, Canada's Main Street?
Well, I hope they read the book and they see that the Trans-Canada Highway has a massive impact on our history. I mean, Terry Fox ran the Trans-Canada Highway. Rick Hansen was on the Trans-Canada Highway. So even though we don't really think of it as something that was a major part of our history, it really was. And it's something every Canadian uses. Every Canadian has been on the Trans-Canada Highway, even just briefly. So it plays a part in all of our lives, much more than CPR does. I mean, barely any of us will take the train, but all of us will drive the Trans-Canada Highway. And so I really wanted to give it its due and show its history and show the immense amount of cooperation and work that had to go into building it.
Craig Baird, who is a Canadian historian, a great storyteller, and this book is a good example of it, telling the story of the Trans-Canada Highway. Also, a great podcaster, and you recently had Ryan Reynolds, a great Canadian, on your podcast. How was that?
It was really cool. It kind of worked out. He follows me on a lot of my accounts, and he had suggested an episode that I ended up doing in March. And so when I sent him the link to that, I said, you know, would you be interested in coming on my podcast? And he said, yes. And so we did the interview a couple weeks later, and then I think I released it just in April.
Yeah, and we can go through your website to check that out.
Yeah, you can find the podcast on all podcast platforms, and you'll find the episode there. And then it also, yes, it is on my website.
And the website, again, Canada X, and that's spelled Canada, and then EHX.com. Speaking of which, I was on your website last night. Your merch sales have to be going through the roof in this whole Team Canada elbows up, because you've got some really good merchandise.
Yeah, the merch sales are definitely doing well. I usually sell about 20 to 25 shirts a month now, which is really nice. Helps pay the bills doing this full time.
Good stuff. Well, Craig, I always appreciate having you on the show. I'll be looking forward to your next project. And thanks for sharing with us the story behind your latest book.
Oh, well, thanks for having me.
Craig Baird, Canadian historian, and the book is called Canada's Main Street. You can buy it now. It is available. It's the epic story of the Trans-Canada Highway. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.